Then about 7 o'clock last night, I decided to go for a four-wheeler ride. It was fun. I just, by myself, so it was kind of boring. And you're driving through fields looking for coyotes and deer to chase. It's just a little boring. But then at a little after 7 o'clock last night, almost 8 o'clock actually, I realized we didn't have anybody to plow the church lot. And so because over time, trucks have been sold and deals that people have sold their trucks and got out of it. So praise God. He sent my neighbor to plow his mom and dad's driveway out. I said, hey, while you're at it, I want to hire you. Okay. I said, it just needs to be done by 9 o'clock. Well, he plows for the county. So at 5:30 this morning, he was plowing the church lot. So praise God. God knew what I needed, took care of it, didn't have to sweat it. Let me get a drink here real quick, because that'll probably be the last one I take for a little bit. Over the last several weeks, maybe month or even more longer than that, something's been stirring in my spirit about these times we're in. These are not normal times. If anybody says that this is normal, they are delusional. It is a repeat of what's happened in the past, and there's always been a major shift during times like these. And the major shift that I feel that's coming on is I believe we will see the return of Jesus Christ soon and very soon. I'm not going to tell you this year. I'm not going to tell you it's not going to be this year. But over and over, there's something stirring in me. Now, as a Marine, this is the only way you'll understand. For me, I got it. We have general orders we followed when we stood guard. And our 11th one was probably the most important. It was to be especially watchful at night and during the times of challenging and to challenge all persons on or near my post. To be especially watchful is what's going over and over in my spirit. To be especially watchful at night. Folks, if you don't think that the world's getting dark, you are delusional. Because it is getting darker. We're being told we have to accept things that are not right. Even by nature, they are not right. Yeah, it occurs. But by nature, it is not accepted. That line dies. When you refuse to reproduce the way God created us, it dies. That's it. I'm not saying I hate people, so get that through your head now. I do not hate people. I prayed for Osama bin Laden. I've prayed for a lot of people that I don't agree with. But we are living in a time in which the prophets foretold. We're living in times Jesus foretold. We are being set up right now to see the greatest thing that ever happened. There at Christmas time, I shared the message about how the lowly shepherds saw potentially the greatest thing to happen on the planet, except for what we're about to see. We will see it. We're going to see Jesus Christ return in glory and take his church, his elect. I need you to point, this is what God's been pouring into me. And so today we're starting, for lack of a better term, a series. Okay, I will repeat several things over and over. They are important. You need to hear them. Anytime anything is repeated, you need to pay attention to it. Jesus, if he spoke something and said something more than once, it was pay attention to this. Okay, just like every time you read in the Bible, it said, verily, verily. He didn't say verily twice, but he was emphasizing it. And so in his inflection, he said, verily, listen to me. This is important. Over and over and over is the only way we will get something. We learn best by repetition. You do something over and over and over, you know how to do it. You don't have to think about it. You just do it and you didn't know it. So God has been pounding into me over and over and over about being especially watchful. About running our race. A couple weeks ago I taught a message on about running our race to win. I don't remember what we titled it. You'd have to talk to Katie. I just don't remember. But But in that, my favorite scripture, run in the race in such a way that you can win. 1 Corinthians 9. Run the race in such a way that you can win it. That you may obtain the crown. That you may obtain first prize. How many of you want to win the race? I do. I've told you, I'm competitive. I want to win the race. I may not come off as the braggadocious type during the race. I prefer to be the underdog. Mark, chalk me off. You just go ahead and count me out of the race. I will keep my mouth shut, and I'll win. And then you're going to say, where did you come from? But in the end, God is wanting us all to run this race of life in such a way that we can win it. In other words, and then go down two more verses, Paul said, but I discipline my body. We are called to be disciples of Christ, right? That's what the Bible calls us. The fivefold ministry is one thing entirely separate. Every last one of us is called to be a disciple of Christ. That means disciplined. That means our lifestyles are disciplined. And Paul said, I discipline my body. I discipline this. Why? Because all of our sins actually have come out of this. They come out of our flesh. Our desires, murders, hates, speaking, lust, all this stuff is generated right here in this body. When it's undisciplined, that's where they come from. So Paul said, I discipline my body so that when I have run the race and I'm coming across the finish line, I'm not disqualified. Why would we be disqualified? Because you didn't run according to the rules. You don't run a marathon by running the first 2 miles, going around the corner, jumping in a car, going down 2 miles from the start, the finish line, and wait until you see the first person and then jump in front of them and run and win the race. They will know you haven't finished it. You know why? Because somebody that just ran 26.2 miles is going to be covered in sweat. They're going to be physically and mentally exhausted. Forgot where the mic was at. So God in the end is going to know, you didn't even try to run. You cheated. You cut the corner on the race. You decided, I'm not going to run by the rules. It always aggravated me to be playing by the rules. And then this is why it is so hard for me during sports events. And you see refs that are you cheating on purpose? And there's been a couple of times it's like, you got to be cheating on purpose. That was so flagrant. It aggravates me to no end. As I know many of you in here are coaches and you've been on the receiving end of that. It is so aggravating for me to see people who want to think they're running the race and then they, I don't need the rules of God. Listen, we are free from the law, but we've been held higher to a higher law. It is so much harder than living by the law. The law spoke it out. Today, Jesus said, you're free from it. But you got to live by love in everything. That person you just want to go rip their head off, if you'll shut your mouth for 5 seconds, you'll see why they reacted the way they did. And you can give God's love and mercy to them. And God will bless you more than you blowing up at them. There's always a reason somebody did something. And it doesn't justify them going out killing or sleeping or doing anything, okay? Or lying or cheating or stealing. None of that is justified, but they will pay for their actions, as we will. We all need to understand that if we go out and we do something, we will pay. It doesn't matter if you're under the blood or not. You will pay for your actions, the things you do and or doing. So this morning I want to start in Matthew chapter 24. Going to go to verse 36. But of the day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now I'll say it again, I've said it 100 times at least during this time of the ministry here. Anybody telling you they know when Jesus is returning, run. They don't. Even Jesus doesn't. Only the Father. Those words, they're not in red up there, but they're in red in my Bible, meaning he spoke them. He says, only my Father. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Be especially watchful during the times of challenge. These are challenging times, are they not? The church is being told to accept sin. Refuse to accept sin. Well, we'll take away your tax-exempt status, like I give a holy rip. You take more money from me, watch what God will do to you. Well, it sounds like, Pastor, you're standing on a vengeful God. Duh, do you not know him? Let me introduce him to you. You serve idols, I will bring you to your knees. You serve me, I will stand in front of you. God's not saying, I got your back. He says, I got your front. Anybody in a fight with me, they better know, I want you up here, not hiding behind me. Especially 20, 30 feet. No, you get right up here. Get close. As a matter of fact, get in line if you truly are with me. Don't stand, well, we got your back. I really just assume you're not. Get up here. Let me put it this way. Peter's heart was in the right place with Jesus. His brain just couldn't comprehend that Jesus didn't want him taken off that servant's head. He was beside Jesus, ready to defend Jesus. He didn't know everything, but his heart was in the right place. This isn't going to come up, but I forgot to put it on there. 43, but know this, that the master of the house had if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's given us signs to look for. He told us about the parable of the fig tree. You know that when you see the leaves, that the fruit's coming on, that summer's coming. So we know seasons are coming. We can know the season of the sign of the coming of man. It, the Son of Man, it is upon us. We are seeing these things happen. Each and every day, something else is happening for a reason. This world is only going to get darker. Just let me promise you that. That's why Jesus said it would be better if you didn't have kids. Today, that is one thing I keep hearing over and over. Oh, I just wouldn't want to be raising kids today. You know what? It's going to happen, right? And you know what? As long as those parents are in a church where it is being taught how to stand, how to build up their children, how to build up their own holy faith, let the flood come. Because my Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. That standard is the Word of God. The Word of God does not move. The Word of God does not change just because society changed its opinion. There's a church in California right now that is being challenged by some LGBTQ whatever group because they put the truth of the Word on their side. And one of the things they said, just because the culture sways, the Word of God doesn't. And they're being challenged now. And I had to, the denomination the church is a part of, their mainline denomination accepts homosexuality as a normal practice. This church refuses. They said, we stand with the Word of God. And it says it's a sin. Now, we got all kinds of stuff like this happening today. We've got sin creeping into the church. We got people living double lives. And I mean full on double lives. Let me tell you something. A double life will get you. It'll catch you every time. Don't think you're getting away with something. You're not. It's always been my experience, God tells on you. He used to tell my mom. I'd call home, "Hey, Mom, how you doing? You know, I'm in Camp Lejeune. What are you doing?" "What do you mean?" "You know what I mean. Just pray for me." I knew what she meant because I knew what God was doing. God was allowing me to do just a little bit, but knowing that I had to come back, so he wouldn't let me get too far away. Because I'll be honest with you, I know why God allowed it for me, so I could have mercy. I couldn't have mercy on people because I had been raised from the time of about 8 that it was rigid religion. And I'm going to tell you right now, the preachers that I knew then couldn't live up to that rigid religion. They fell, every one of them. They couldn't live up because they couldn't accept God's mercy and his grace. Now, mercy and grace are not permission to go sin. We've talked about that, and we will talk about that. Watch, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. This is what is stirring over and over in me. And like I've said before, I don't watch a whole lot of teaching on TV, but there are times when I do, and this is something that I'm hearing from those who are actually tuning in to what God is saying. We need to be watching, folks. It's going to be upon us. The time is upon us. But it doesn't mean we stop doing what we're supposed to be doing. If you're in business, you keep doing your business. If you have a job, you keep working your job. That's why it says that. Everybody tries to turn the times of Noah into something overly spiritual, and he's just saying, they were still living. They were still giving in marriage. There were still children being born. Life was going on, and life should go on. You know why? Do you know why God didn't tell us when he was coming? Because the church would sit down and do nothing. The lost would go. They would die. We would just turn our backs, and the church would be so full of sin up until the day before. What a victorious life. Seriously. What a victorious life it is to live a life full of sin and then get up to the day before he comes back and say, "Oh, Jesus, forgive me." Just so you know, the truth of the matter is, you have salvation, but there's crowns the Bible talks about. There are crowns that he talks about, and those crowns come from overcoming sin, for standing when it wasn't popular. That's where you get those crowns. Okay? Now, go to, I don't think there was anything, okay, go to verse. Seems like it was something I wanted to share out of that. I guess not. Go to chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." Let me point out something. Anytime you see the number 10 in the Bible, the number 10 means redemption. Okay? The word tithe means tenth. Therefore, tenth, the tithe, is redemption of the 90%. So that God can bless it. The church represents the tithe of the people on this planet. That's who these virgins represent. They've been made whole. They've been made pure. Been clean. "Who went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish." I learned something cool about this word foolish. We always want. We all have different opinions of what's foolish, right? One person says, "That's foolish." I had a gunnery sergeant. I did something. It wasn't stupid. You guys, I don't think any women in here have ever done this. Take a sledgehammer and you hold it straight out and you reach it down and touch it to your nose. Any other guys do that? I knew Phil would have. Okay, we got a few. Okay, I did that one time. We were breaking down tires. And I took that sledgehammer, touched my nose, and stood it right back up. Now, it was only an 8-pound. After 8, it gets really hard to get that thing, slow it down so you don't end up with a flat nose. But he looked at it, he said, "That's foolishness." I'm like, "What, just because you can't do it?" Didn't hurt anything, but he, in his eyes, it was foolishness. Yeah, maybe. I still, it didn't stop me. I just didn't do it in his presence anymore. But there are things that are foolish that we do in out of God, out of the presence of people, that are just pure tea foolish. Here's what I learned about that word. The root word in the Greek is mora. It's where we get the word moron. He called half the church morons. Think about it. He said in the end times, half of the church will be moronic. Now, Jesus taught us not to call our brother a fool, right? We've all thrown that at people. Don't you call me a fool. That's called telling somebody they are stupid. I've been told I was stupid. You want to fight? Call me stupid. Because in my opinion, I may be stupid, but I will fight. You can have all your books. I'm going to beat you with them. You can have all your friends. They're going to run. Because when you insult somebody like that, I had kids on the bus. I had a neighbor, and they would tease that poor boy until he would cry. When Andy cried, you had better look out. Because it wasn't tears of, I've got a broken heart. He was that mad. His face was red, and he came out swinging. Finally, I think they learned they were morons, the two of them. They were twins. When one's a moron, they're both morons. But they don't even talk to each other now. That's how bad it got. But the Bible is telling us, so you got the word raka, which means foolish, when Jesus said don't call your brother a fool or stupid. Because that's just a flat-out attack on him. But when he called the church moronic, when he's talking about these virgins, he said they're moronic in their thinking and all their beliefs. It's actually talking about their character. It's not just talking about, well, you know, we all done stupid stuff, right? I got scar to prove a few of them. Things that aren't quite lined up anymore because of a few of them. Yeah, they were pretty stupid. I will have to admit. But when he says they are moronic, it's talking about their character. They are morally bankrupt. They have no morals. They don't stand for anything. It's half of the church. Now, verse 3. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. By the way, oil usually represents the anointing. In the Bible, anytime you read about oil, it's talking about an anointing. Because that's how they brought in kings and priests. They anointed them with oil. And they not only just, it wasn't like we do, okay? Some of you would just have a cow if you were anointed the way that these guys were anointed. They didn't just bring in a little vial and put it on their finger and touch you on your forehead. I anoint you in Jesus' name and bless you. Man, they brought in a big old jug and you knelt and they poured the oil on you. So if you've got oily hair, and I do, I have to wash my hair every day. What a defeat. I just washed my hair. And now I'm coated in oil. I've been coated in hydraulic oil a few times, and it takes a while to get all of that off of you. So the oil represents anointing. They do not take the anointing. What is in the anointing, folks? In the anointing is the power to overcome. By the way, the anointing is primarily the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us in Acts, he said, "And you shall receive power from on high in that day, and you will be witnesses for me, and power will come upon you." The power to overcome sin in your life. And then once you start understanding that power, you can start understanding the power you have as a believer, which we'll get into later. About you can take authority over spirits that control areas. We do not have to be held contained in fear. Fear is a spirit that comes in. Fear to rise up. Fear to shake the boat. I remember a song years ago talking about values clarification. If you didn't know what that was, if they give you 10 people in a lifeboat, lifeboat can only handle so many. You got to start figuring out who's worth keeping. Well, the first one they throw out is the guy who's mentally disabled because he's going to rock the boat. Well, that would have been me. I do not stand for what is typically normal. Many of the preachers in this community do not accept me as a pastor or a preacher because I rock the boat. Even when we did the community praise service up here, there were some, oh, he's violent. Because I dared to move away from the pulpit. Now, just so you know, most of these guys are shaking back here and they're holding on to the thing, trying not to pass out. That's why they stand. Well, I'm not up here on my own anointing because I'm honestly borderline foolish in some things. And there's even times I hear when my flesh comes out. Rob, quit smiling. You and Phil, you two are bad influences. I've known Rob since I was 12. We did some stupid things. Just a few. Let me carry on. I gave back my Bible. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. The church has been asleep for a long time. The church is being woke up. And at midnight, again, a time to be watchful, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They personally went and took care of themselves. That is what personal salvation means. I'm not going to tell you what you absolutely have to do. If you come to me and say, what can I cut out in my life? What can I do to overcome? I'm going to tell you personally. I'm going to tell you things that I had to do. And if I had to do them, they work. But if you won't listen to it, well, that's on you. But here's what the word trimmed means. Typically, we think of trim just adjusting the wick, right? You trim your light. Anybody that's ever had kerosene lanterns? You trim it by turning the wick up or down. Well, it's the word actually means to adorn or set in order. You get your life in order, folks. Just so you know, the call has gone out. The bridegroom is coming. It's time we get our lives in order. Well, I've got till tomorrow. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Does another song have to be written about waiting and putting it off till tomorrow before we realize tomorrow's not guaranteed? Well, you know, if God wants me saved, he'll hold off till tomorrow. He owes you absolutely nothing at this juncture. The time is now. Now is the time for salvation. Not tomorrow. Never plan on tomorrow. It may not come. And it's not necessarily saying you may die. He may come tonight. You're going to wake up, reach over to the other side of your bed. Hey, oh, she just got up. You go through the house. Ain't nobody else in your house. Or you're not going to find me. Or her. You're not going to find your friends. Hey, anybody here? I mean, if you ever seriously want to mess with somebody, get up early. Everybody leave but one person in the house and let them wake up. Where'd everybody go? You talk about a home alone experience. There was a couple times I got up and was like, man, where'd everybody go? Ain't nobody in the house. Jesus. Did you come back and I wasn't found worthy? And they all trimmed their lamps. They got their lives in order. They set things in order. The word is cosmos, by the way. That's what it means. Put things in order to adorn. They also had, it also described like memorials and monuments and things that were set up to people and things and points to remember that you would go out and you would clean them up like Memorial Day. We go out, we remember the fallen, and we clean up the cemeteries, right? We get everything ready. We put flowers on our loved ones' graves and such and all that stuff. That's what it's talking about, putting things in right orders. We need to be doing this with our lives, folks. The call has gone out. We need to get our lives right with Christ. We need to accept what he's done once and for all for us and start walking in that victory. Doesn't mean right away God takes everything away from you. Sometimes there's a fight. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the devil wants you. Those of you that have been set free from this, he wants you back. And he will come back and try to get you. Bible tells us that when he cleans out, when a strong man is kicked out of his house, you go in, you clean it up, you get rid of all the garbage. It says he goes out and finds seven more friends and comes back. He wants it that bad. That's how bad the devil wants you. He wants you that bad. Jesus wanted you even worse, and he said, you know what, I'm not going to go get my friends. I'm just going to die and kick your butt. And that's what he did. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Isn't that like people who are lazy? Oh, you give us some. Give us some of yours. Well, see, here's the church. Here's what the church has gotten in their head. Well, I got to share. You can't share this. Do you understand this? You cannot take a revelation you've got and just give it to somebody and they get it. Revelations usually come after a mountaintop experience. You get the revelation after you've climbed. You fought hard so that you could see the victory. And on the way up, you learned what rocks not to grab hold. You learned to identify things. In a cliff climbing assault course, I accidentally grabbed a boulder. When I say boulder, it was about the size of a basketball. We were climbing up a cliff in the Philippines with our rifles and our combat gear. And there was no rope or anything. And if one of us had fallen, well, my parents would have been getting a phone call and a check. And I reached up to grab a rock that the first 20 guys in front of me had grabbed hold of to pull themselves up. And when I did, it broke free from that soil. And I knew better than to keep my legs together and let it take me out. And instantly when it moved, I spread my leg. The guy below me wasn't so fortunate. It bounced off his hand. Now, he held on. But I learned at that point, maybe not grabbing every rock that the first 20 guys have already pulled loose from the dirt is the best thing. Grab hold of the big rocks that aren't going to move. They had broke it loose, and when it got to me, it broke. So you learn little things like that, which, by the way, I hollered out, look out. We learn things going up mountains. You learn there's a path to go and a path not to go. All these people that are doing these thrill climbs and stuff, they're going to places you shouldn't be going. And then there's some of them, I look out there and they got these little tiny little anchors driven into a crack in a granite face, and they're hanging thousands of feet up. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not, heights don't typically bother me, but yeah, I'm not interested in dying. And all it takes is a little rumble and you're down. You learn things. The first time they climbed Mount Everest, they successfully climbed Mount Everest, was because of all the times that people had failed. The mountains you're climbing, folks, you are learning things. You fell. Great. Get back up and keep moving. Don't lay there. It's one thing that aggravates me when I see a guy get knocked down on a basketball court, since we're in basketball, and they lay there. Both teams are at the other end. Why are you still laying there? Is your leg broke? Do you have a concussion? Oh, no, you got knocked on your butt. Get up. You're still in the game. But that's what we do. We get knocked down and we lay there. Oh, somebody look at me. Look at me. Can I have your attention? I'm hurt. We saw in the game yesterday. Yeah, I don't remember if it was a collision or what happened. But this kid got knocked down. Now, according to the rules of basketball, you're supposed to let it play out to the next play. Well, in this game yesterday, they had to keep letting it play. This kid's laying there. He's all writhing in pain, holding his knee, until he rolls over and sees that his team got the ball back up, and he was instantly on his feet, not crying, and smiling and running. Yeah, amazing. And the Oscar goes to number 15. But that's what the church does. Oh, I got knocked down. You're drawing attention to yourself. You know, when we're going to read something here in a minute. I'm looking for the clock. I'm trying to keep on pace. The devil's looking for that opportunity. You're drawing attention to yourself. You fell because of yourself. You didn't fall because somebody else set you up. You fell because you wanted what happened. I know that's hard to swallow, but the Bible says we're lured away by our own lusts and desires. All right. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. I'm going to have to come back to this one. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. He also went on to say, let all that you do be done with love. Watch. Stand fast. Be brave. Be strong. Well, I'm not brave. I'm not strong. Do you know how that changes? One opportunity. One opportunity is all it takes. Bravery isn't something you're naturally born with. It comes by doing something what most people call foolish. Bravery and stupidity border the same line sometimes. This is where I wanted to go. 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, stay steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Be sober, be vigilant. It means be especially watchful. Be serious about what's happening. It's not saying we can't have fun, okay? But today, the church, there's a lot of the church that it's all about having fun. I was reading about trends that are turning people off in the world. And one of them is the church service that is orchestrated around a rock and roll style praise and worship service. Not the rockier music. Just so you know, there are churches where there's laser shows or smoke shows and everything is going on except real praise and worship. There's been some of them, they've actually found marijuana being smoked in them because of the smoke. So just so you know, there's so much going on in the world that is infiltrating the church. This is not a rock and roll show. We do none of this to entertain you. We've had people, oh, you need these lights, you need pageantry. No, I don't. I don't want banners walking up and down the aisle. If the Spirit of the Lord moves on you and you want to dance, then dance. But do it in such a way that you do not distract. If you want to praise the Lord and shout, then you do it. But there's an appropriate time for certain things. I've seen people just break down in the wrong time. Because as God was raising me up, he started tuning me into what was happening in the Spirit. I could tell you when there was a word of prophecy about to come forth. And I knew 9 times out of 10, a couple times it was because it was the same person, was going to bring it forth and interpret. There's order in God's church. We have coffee. I'm not going to open a Starbucks over there for you. You want a cup of coffee? It's over there. Go over, pour it. You're welcome to it. We've even got the little, they're not fancy. We don't have the bottles that look like whiskey bottles for flavorings. We got the little coffee mate things. You still got to peel and then you can build a castle with them afterwards. We're not about that. And there's churches that are doing good that have this stuff. I'm not slamming it. I'm saying when this stuff is what we think of as church, there's a problem. We don't sell anything in this church. I know churches where they had stuff lined up along the walls for sale. Churches that I thought would have known better. This is the sanctuary. Why are we buying jewelry? Yeah. Why are we pushing ourselves inside the sanctuary walls? This is a holy place. It represents a holy, a safe place. Now, it doesn't mean you kill somebody, you can run in here and I'm not going to kick your butt out over to the police. I'll just tell you that straight up right now. That was never supposed to be the deal. You come and tell me you can that you've killed somebody? Yeah, I don't play that game. I'm going to tell you, turn yourself in. And if you don't, I will.
Well, it sounds like you just want to be a tattletale. No,
I'm not going to have somebody's innocent blood on my head. I don't buy into the garbage that, oh, it's a sanctuary. Run to the church and they'll protect you. No, we're not. You rape somebody, you might be lucky you don't get knocked out. They need help now, and you're not going to fall under, well, I just got saved. Well, you know, I'll come to church and I'll teach you in prison. I'm sorry. I know it sounds like I'm a cold-hearted person. But there's innocence that got taken away. And the church is like, oh, well, we're just this. That's why the Catholic Church seems to think it's okay for their priests to do what they do and protect them. Well, first off, the Catholic Church needs to drop the priests can't get married garbage. The Bible even speaks against that. But it's about control. Grace has nothing to do with control. Mercy has nothing to do with control. Jesus did tell us to quit sinning. He said, I don't condemn you either, but don't go out and keep sinning. I guess I got off my message there. But folks, we're getting ready to see so much more happening. We're going to see things happen in Israel. I believe there's a fight gearing up against Israel right now. We're going to watch. The United States ain't going to be able to take them on. God is. You need to understand, the people of Hamas have said their God keeps moving our missiles. Their God. Israel's God keeps changing the direction of their missiles. Because I have to wonder, like, really, are you guys that bad at launching a missile? You're aiming at a city and you hit the desert. No, the missile goes up on track and all of a sudden goes whoop, falls out harmlessly in the desert. And yet, when Israel fires back, they hit their point. One of these days, people are going to get smart. Why are we attacking Israel again? Primarily because the Bible says God put a hook in their mouth. He said, you represent a people long ago, and you refuse to change. I don't want to be in that, folks. I don't want to be in the 50% because, well, you know, we just going to play church. We ain't playing church around here. It's time that you get built up in your most holy of faith. And you can stand and withstand the attacks of the devil. And when you fall down, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to throw rocks and dirt and garbage on top of you and keep you down. I'm going to tell you, get up quickly. Get up. Because if they see you down, he will attack. That was one thing that they taught us. You got to get back to safety. If you're wounded, get to safety. If you're dead, there ain't nothing you can do about it. But you keep moving, no matter what happens. I saw a meme the other day that showed LeBron James being carried off the court because he had a Charlie horse. And it said, you got a cramp? And it showed that, oh, I can't remember if he was Army or Marine, but he had been shot through the neck and fought for 90 minutes. Just by holding his hand up there with a rag, he kept fighting. That says something, folks. There's a difference. This is Showboat. I mean, he's a great basketball player. I ain't taking none away from him. What he does good. He thinks way too much of himself. But you get over here, the man kept fighting not because he was getting glory for it, because he was getting more pay or getting attention. It was because his brothers were down. They were pinned down. Huge difference on why we do things. A lot of the church today is still stuck in, well, you know, we need to have the glory. I was thinking about this morning. I found a pile of leaves under the snow out there. I got in before Phil did. And, well, I'm here. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I'll just clean it off. And I found a pile of leaves. And I heard something. Why isn't that pile of leaves cleaned up? The church should be spotless and immaculate. It's the outside. I'm not going to stop the leaves. My truck is dirty. It's got salt all over it. Go wash it. Well, as soon as I drive off the parking out of the lot, it's going to get salt all over it again. I'll wait until there's a nicer day, wash the salt off. And then when I go down my road, it's going to get covered in dirt again. But we're more worried about the trimmings of a building. We're more worried about, well, we look perfect. Man, I don't care how you come in. Just please don't come in dressed like a prostitute or a pimp. It will be hard to preach. I'm not kidding. You wearing your big old purple hat and... God's not in here judging us because we wore blue jeans. Or in my case, black jeans and cowboy boots. He's not judging you because you got a hole in them. And neither are we. I'm not going to judge you. You come to me, you got a problem, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it. There are things I gave up and will not touch because of that. Because of that love. When the church starts operating more, you're going to see a powerful church, folks. The church is awake. The call went out long ago to wake up. The church started getting filled with the Spirit. The people started paying the price, which I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to get into a whole new message, and I'm already further than I want. But like I said, this is a series. This is a marathon. Don't think that you might miss something if you don't come. I'm not going to say you won't. What I am saying is there's so much I need to get out that you're going to want to be here. You're going to want to get this. If you want to walk in victory, okay? Because the time is now. It has nothing to do with 2019. This was stirring in me in November. It's now. Things are happening, and we're about to see so much more. I'm not going to tell you Jesus ain't coming back this year. How do I know? I've been told every prophecy that needs to be fulfilled is fulfilled. Every tongue that needs to hear the word, the gospel of Jesus Christ has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what's holding him back? Just the day that eons and decades and centuries and millennia ago, God wrote down on such and such a date, Jesus Christ will get his church. So, all right, let's stand. There is so much more for us to do, folks. It's not over. There's an entire world that's out there looking at us. We should be a glorious church. People should look at our lives and say, you're different. Why? And I'm not saying you got to... This is where religion creeps in. If you go to the Mennonites, even some of the apostolic and the Amish, you can tell who they are by their dress because they have a regimented look. Go into Lowe's. You can tell the Mennonite women. Some of the men are getting kind of hard to check. The men make sure that they wear those denim skirts all the way down to their ankles, tennis shoes, a little thing on their head. I said women, right? Okay. Some of you were looking confused, and she said women. In my head, I said women. Listen, all of that stuff is nothing more than control. Jesus never intended for us to be under that kind of control. We got so goofy with it, people started making fun of you because your hair fell out. Well, you're a sinner because your hair had fallen out. Ain't got none to you. Richard's back here. Oh, man. Hey, listen. Not worrying about it. The heck with it. It's just hair. I've seen the pictures of my grandfather. It doesn't bode well. But at my age, I still have more hair than he did. So, but folks, none of this stuff that we've been taught matters. You want to wear jeans? Well, the Bible says this. The Bible doesn't say anything about what's happening. Well, men should have short hair. No, they shouldn't. Dan, I like your hair, man. I just can't grow it anymore. I tried, okay? Y'all think I was going through a midlife crisis or something a couple years ago? It wasn't that. I wanted to grow my hair out. I was finally on my own. My mom couldn't keep cutting it, saying she's cutting the dead ends out. It just wasn't growing. Pat's hair grew 10 times faster than mine. He had a ponytail. I'm like, that's what I want. All I got says, just didn't work. So I gave up. I can't grow a beard. Rob, Tim, you guys. Oh, well. Can't grow a beard. Does that mean I can't be holy? Can't be a man? I can grow a sandpaper pad. She says, please don't. But we'll get more into this later down the road, folks. I want you to understand, God is coming. He's sending Jesus back. I want to be ready. I want you ready. I want you to understand his mercy and his grace. You will overcome the things that you've been bound by. Some of you are still fighting things. I get it. But you can overcome them through that blood. When you do, there's nothing going to stop you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your mercy, for your love. Lord, we thank you for your word, that you sent it, that you made it flesh, and it lived among us. And that word took upon it all the weight of sin, all the punishment of sin, that if we would receive it. Now, Father, I pray for each and every person in here. Father, those who are struggling with their salvation, Father, I pray that you help them to grasp hold of it, Father, to cry out sincerely that they need you. Father, move in their lives. Begin to open their eyes, stir in their hearts. Father, bring the peace that passes all understanding into their lives. Now, Lord, I pray that you help every last one of us in here. Father, bless those who are traveling today as well, those who are away. Father, those who are sick, we pray for them, Lord, and those who just couldn't be here because of driving, Lord, I ask that you bless them. Give them your peace and your love as we've experienced here and stirred up amongst us today. Father, stir in each person to be especially watchful and to trim the wick of their light, to set it in order, to clean it up. I bless them in this, Father. Bless your people as they go to their jobs this week, Father. Those who are standing, I pray that you continue to give them strength. Help them to hold on. And Father, I pray that you give each and every person your love to share. In Jesus' name, amen.